You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
And now, a Blaze Media Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Chewing the Fat. Nice to have you along for the ride today. For those of you listening live on the 2nd of July, 2020, thank you for listening to Chewing the Fat. I mentioned in passing yesterday about the European Union deciding that, you know, they were going to exclude many countries like the United States from traveling to the EU. But just know, and I know, I got to break it to you easy, dry your eyes. Just know that if you're from Algeria, Australia, Canada, Georgia, Japan, Montenegro, Morocco, New Zealand, Rwanda, Serbia, South Korea, Thailand, Tunisia, and Uruguay, you'll be able to go to the EU. So don't worry about it if you planned on going to the EU for non-essential travel from those countries. Oh, and, you know, Chinese citizens are also going to be allowed, you know, to go to the EU, but not the United States. Oh, well, boy, and I was all ready to head over to the EU. Oh, well, darn the luck. Congratulations to Dolph Lundgren, who is 62 years old now. He's getting married. He's back in love again and just a happy, happy man in love. Now, sure, his wife-to-be, Emma, is 24 and he's only 62. Sure, there's a little bit of an age gap, you know, like 38 years. But you can't put an age on love, okay? Sure, he's got a daughter that's 24. Sure. So, what's it to you? Is Emma his daughter? No. Is she a personal trainer? Yes. Have they been dating for a little while? Well, yes. They just shared on social media the exciting news. They were taking the next step in their relationship. They had a romantic getaway to Sweden. And gosh darn it, Dolph just apparently got down on one knee and said, "Hey, Emma, how about we get married, huh? Let's turn this thing around." And she, of course, said yes and was showing off the ring in the social media pic. So by saying something very special happened here in Sweden. So good for them. Congratulations, Dolph and Emma, for finding love wherever you can. A lot of fans weren't happy. They were kind of making fun of him. Those of you that don't know who Dolph Lundgren is, look it up. You'll know who he is, okay? Man's been around for a while. He's a stud and a star, okay? And you find love where you can, all right? Now, if you are in a position like Dolph Lundgren, you may need something called relief factor. Your joints may hurt. They may ache. You may be thinking to yourself, "Man, I wish I could move like I used to." Well, that's where Relief Factor comes in. Go to relieffactor.com and they will help you get your life back. It supports a healthy response to inflammation and decreases discomfort. I know that to be true in my own life. I started taking it and then I ran out by some quirky thing. I didn't have any more. I forgot to order it, you know, and then I realized, man, I am aching all over. Oh, no wonder I'm out of Relief Factor. Duh. And so I ordered some more because I wanted to get rid of those aches and pains. So I went to relieffactor.com. and I got a 3-week quick start for 1995. You too can do that. You know, in all their customers, 70% of the people who order the 3-week quick start go on to order more. And I'm sure that you will be in that 70% because it works. Americans spend $2,000 a year on average on pain relief. Wow. And 66% of those people expect to live the rest of their life in some pain. I mean, you've got to find a way to get past it. And that's where Relief Factor comes in. Go to relieffactor.com. Get your 3-week quick start. Get started. Only $19.95. And you'll see for yourself that you don't want to run out and go back to those aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com. So, kind of breaking news today. It's not happening as we speak right now. Of course, you know if you listen to Chewing the Fat. When Chewing the Fat records, news happens. So that's absolutely true. So, it is breaking news. I don't care when you're listening to this podcast. It's breaking news. Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's main girl, was just arrested by the FBI today. And I was going through a thread from Amy Holmes on Twitter, who, tweets this just in, the FBI finally does its job instead of trying to undermine an election. FBI arrests Jeffrey Epstein's friend, Ghislaine Maxwell. She says, who was on the loose for years. She was just trying to, have a low profile. She also says, Prince Andrew, call your lawyer. Boy, that's a fact. And as for Ghislaine, she not only allegedly procured dozens and dozens of underage girls, she allegedly participated in the rampant abuse. Amy says, good luck, honey, surviving your trial date. No one is holding their breath, but you might want to try learning to hold yours. A rim shot. Incredible news that they arrested her. The arrest comes days before the anniversary of the arrest on child sex charges for Jeffrey Epstein. He killed himself in federal jail last August. He killed himself in jail, a suicide. Uh-huh. So they arrested her in New Hampshire, and she is now being charged with conspiring with Jeffrey to sexually abuse children as young as 14 and for lying about her alleged conduct as a procurer. Okay. The arrest of the British socialite following a 6-count criminal indictment issued in Manhattan federal court. All right. So she is, they're going to ask a judge to detain her without bail as they continue to investigate the case. Kind of strange. I know that the victims had called for Maxwell's arrest ever since Epstein was charged. I mean, they wanted Ghislaine to be a part of this as well. She was... I love this story. This story is just incredible. I'll just read you what the story says. She was arrested this morning, for those of you listening live, the 2nd of July, 2020, on what the FBI called a gorgeous property in Bradford, New Hampshire. Okay. I mean, after having previously slithered back into the United States at some point. Okay. I mean, we're not leaning in the other direction of her guilt right off the bat, are we? good luck. Good luck. I hope she gets a fair trial. Doesn't seem like she will. And does she deserve one? That's up to you to decide if she deserves one or not. But we'll do, we'll cover more of the Ghislaine Jeffrey Epstein saga as Chewing the Fat continues, rest of the summer. Did you see where the guy, Jack Whitaker, the big Powerball winner who really struggled for forever, He won the big jackpot in 2002. He just passed away. He was 72. And he won the Powerball back in 2002, as I said, $315 million. He, you know, the story of his life after he won the lottery was kind of depressing. He became an instant celebrity at 55. He claimed the largest U.S. lottery jackpot. He took the lump sum payment. Good for him. $113.4 million after taxes. So he won $315 million in a Powerball jackpot. And he walks away. He shows up back at the front door of his house with $113.4 million. Boy, that seems a little unfair. But hey, life isn't fair. And move on. Then after he won, he flew off to New York with his family to show, you know, do the rounds of the TV morning shows. And then there were the lawsuits, and everybody was asking him for money. And he ended up saying he couldn't trust anyone. His wife left him. Of course, she took her cut. A friend of his granddaughter, who was had a drug problem, was found dead in his home a couple of years later. 3 months later, his granddaughter was gone too. I mean, it's really sad. And then his daughter in 2009 passed away. She was sick. She'd been struggling with cancer, and he had hoped. He had said at one point that he was going to leave everything to her. He lost his Virginia home to a fire a couple of years ago. I mean, the guy, holy cow. He said he struggled with drinking and gambling. His home and his car were constantly burglarized. Remember, he's the guy that he had the briefcases stuffed with $245,000 cash and three cashier's checks for $100,000 each. And he was at a strip club and they broke into his car or his, you know, SUV. And they took us. So, you know, of course, that's reported from a strip club parking lot. But he did get the briefcase back and the money was still inside. I guess the thieves couldn't get it open. So, he was charged with DUI a couple of times. Casino employees accused him of assault. He said he was sad. This was, you know, just a few years after he won the lottery, that he said his legacy was already written. He said, I'm going to be remembered as a lunatic who won the lottery. And I'm not proud of that. I wanted to be remembered as someone who had helped a lot of people. And he had plenty of money before he won the lottery. It was just incredible. His life was pretty good before he won the lottery. And he did good. I mean, he started a foundation in his name. They built churches, and his family donated food and college scholarships. So, you know, he tried to be a good guy. A lot of times we struggle to be good people and, you know, events happen. Life happens. But he had a big construction business before he won the lottery. So he won the lottery and it just, you know, shot everything to hell. He had a, you know, multi-million dollar company. I don't know why he wouldn't keep going with that. And just, you know, then he couldn't trust anybody. Everybody wants your money. It's just you gotta have it set out for you before you head off into public. You know, obviously you have to announce most places where you win the lottery. You have to announce that you won, but before you do that, you can get your ducks in a row and make sure that the people you want to have a cut gets their cut in those trust funds, and move on. Thank you very much. And you got to be able to say no to the people that come. I mean, right? I don't know. Can you say no? It'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. So you almost always have to say no. You know, unless you won the lottery and then I came to ask, of course you got to believe everything that I tell you, right? Right. Anyway, rest in peace, Mr. Jack Whitaker, and I hope that you have found some peace. So for the last couple days, I've been thinking about a story that I saw, and it reminded me because I remember seeing it a while back, and then, you know, it's those stories where you see the headline and whale poop worth $7,000 a pound, and you laugh and you find out about it, and then you move on with your life. But then I just saw another headline the other day that talked about this ambergris, which is, you know, well, it's essentially whale poop. According to the scientists, it's a clump of squid beaks bound by a fatty secretion. And over time, it balls up in the intestine of some sperm whales. And eventually out it goes. So it's, according to scientists, it's not poop, but it is. Now, some sperm whales, they claim that only 1% of the sperm whales that are out there create ambergris. And right now, I mean, sperm whales are endangered. There's only, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand left on the planet. While that seems like a lot, apparently, you know, I don't know, you know, they were, you know, over a million. So, you know, times are tough for the sperm whales, and times are tough for the ambergris finding around the globe. Now, why is it so expensive? 7,000 or more a pound for this stuff. All right. Now, once it gets released, you know, like the poop, it floats around in the ocean. And then, you know, it turns into this, it turns from the sticky, not poop, but like poop substance into a hard gray chunk, you know, floats around the ocean, da, 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 da. And then it, you know, washes up on shore, or the ambergris hunters, you know, find it. I don't know, they just run a net and check it out every so often and hope that they, you know, have the ambergris in their nets. But there's ambergris hunters out there. Now, there are perfumes that use it, right? I mean, it's a base smell for perfumes, and there's a few out there that use ambergris as its base smell. And you can imagine that the perfumes that have the ambergris as their base smell ain't cheap. You're spending a little cash for that perfume, okay? So, you know, people like to find it and sell it. And apparently hunters are out there, you know, following weather patterns and ocean currents to try to see where, you know, where the whales are and where the currents are and where we might get some of the ambergris. However, and it's got 20 or 30 chemical compounds in the clump, okay? So, and each one of those chemical compounds has its own odor profile. So one of them kind of smells like mushrooms, and the other one kind of smells a little bit like tobacco, and one of them smells like poop, and one smells like grass and hay. So each one has their own profile, so it probably smells beautiful. Right? I mean, you could just well imagine how that piece of ambergris, you know, that clump of squid beaks bound by fatty secretions smells. Just a, you know, it's a bouquet of smells for your house. However, if you're in the United States, you can't have it. Yeah, no, you can't have it. Now, people have found it up, washed up on the beach in other countries. And like one couple found a 32-pound piece of this stuff. I mean, now you're talking some cash, right? You're talking $200,000-$300,000 for ambergris. But if you find it here in the States, you're going to be quiet about it because it's you're not supposed to sell it. It's illegal to sell it. It's illegal to possess it. and it's illegal to buy it. So I can't buy it, I can't sell it, and I can't have it. Okay. So if you, not me, if I stumbled across it, I would turn it in and say, or I might just leave it there. You know, that's me. I'll just leave it there. Hey, there's a big clump of something that might be worth, over $7,000 a pound. I'll just leave it there. Because there's a law that says I can't buy it, sell it, or have it. So I'll just leave it there. And I would too. But if you were a person who thought to themselves, well, I could just maybe find a way to sell this on the, on the black market, well, then you should, take it. But what's the thinking? Why can't we have it? Why can't we even have it? I mean, I get it. The sperm whales are an endangered species, but we're not killing the sperm whales to get to the ambergris, right? That's not happening, or at least it isn't happening now. So, I mean, we're waiting for it to float on shore or float into the ocean for a bunch of years and hopefully find it. So I don't quite understand that law. But if you find some ambergris, whatever you do, leave it there. You can't even have it in a little box on your mantle in the house. Hey, what is that? Boy, that looks like ambergris. No, it's not. Don't even open the box. We don't need that smell in the house. But it's not ambergris. It's fake ambergris. That's what it is. It's fake ambergris. No, really, it's fake. I just made it, pushed it together, right? I just pushed it. It's Play-Doh. That's what it is. It's Play-Doh made to look like ambergris. But it would be kind of cool to have, right? If you had a little piece, maybe, just sitting there. Don't tell anybody. Just have your own piece of squid beaks bound together by fatty secretion. Just sitting there on your mantle, giving your house that special ambergris bouquet smell. Oh yeah, now you're talking. All right, let's go to the break room. I need a drink of some ice cold water. Oh my gosh. So good and good for you. So, we were talking about ambergris, sperm whale poop, but for perfumes. But I was, how would you like to know what space smells like? I know. I thought would think, you know what? Nah, I'm good. But apparently, there is a company that wants to create a new fragrance that will bring you the smell of space here on Earth. The fragrance developed by Mr. Steve, Pearce or Pierce, all right? P-E-A-R-C-E. It's a ode to space. He's the chemist and founder of Omega Ingredients, a company focused on the creation of the highest quality, province-driven, natural flavors and ingredients for the food and beverage industry. Alrighty then. So apparently NASA is offering $35,000 in prizes to design a toilet that will work on the moon. And he was contracted by NASA to recreate the smell way back in 2008. It took him 4 years to develop the smell from the space toilet. Okay. All right. Talk about milking a deal. So they wanted to create this so the astronauts would know what it smelled like before they launched into orbit, so that they could eliminate potential surprises that the astronauts might encounter or experience in space. Oh, okay. So for sure, they wanna know that. Astronauts describe the smell as a mix of gunpowder, seared steak, raspberries, and rum. Man, does that smell good! So, you know, if you wanna smell like space, you too can get in on the Kickstarter deal to bring that fragrance to the market. Ode to Space. Man, does that sound like, I mean, who doesn't want to smell a little bit like gunpowder, seared steak, raspberries, and rum? Oh, man. Huh? I know. So there's still, and we have more news from space too. Space news. In the Kinmen dwarf galaxy, there was an object that has now disappeared. I know. How could it disappear? Well, research published in the monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society. And mine just arrived, so I didn't see it when it was first published. The massive and exceptionally bright blue star that was there that they observed between 2001 and 2011 is gone. They don't know what happened to it. They don't know. It could have just dropped in luminosity and now is partially hiding behind some dust. It could have transformed into a black hole without sparking a supernova. Right. Would, if that happened, it would represent just the second known failed supernova. So if you just turn into a black hole and you don't have a supernova explosion, okay, then you're just a black hole. Now, the dwarf galaxy, Kinmen, is located 75 million light years from Earth, so it's right there. Astronomers cannot discern individual stars because it's so far away. So they just know that light shifts in spectra and brightness, and that could be spotted from Earth. But it's thought that the star is 2.5 million times brighter than our sun. Okay. Maybe it was 2.5 million times brighter than our sun, but not anymore. Thanks now to its black holeness. Just incredible. And we have new findings that will appear in a paper in the Astronomical Journal. Oh, no, it's published in June, so it's already appeared there. Well, how come I didn't get my... Was it in the other one? I must have... I mean, what's going on? I must have missed it. So this one is talking about KELT-9b, which was discovered in 2017. You remember that we talked about actually the finding of this planet because it transmits regularly, dim the star's light by a small but detectable amount. And it was observed by the KELT Transit Survey, a project that collected observations from two robotic telescopes located in Arizona and South Africa, which is thus the name KELT-9b. It is, it's only 670 light years away. That's it. It's right there. So, apparently, the giant world is about 1.8 times bigger than Jupiter, 2.9 times its mass. Tidal forces have locked its rotation to the same side, always faces its star. It swings around its star in just 36 hours. The orbit carries it almost directly above the star's poles. It's 44,000 times more energy from its star than Earth gets from its sun. Okay, so it gets, this is KELT-9b, gets 44,000 times more energy from its star than the Earth does from the sun. So that makes the planet's dayside temperature, and you're going to need some sunscreen if you go to KELT-9b, at 7,800 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm guessing that if you ever go to a dark spot, it gets a little colder, right? So according to this, when it passes over the star's cooler midsection, it experiences two summers and two winters every year. So each season is about 9 hours. That's a weird planet, man. I don't know that you want to live on KELT-9b. But, it's a quick tan. A quick tan at 7,800 degrees. That's just a little warm. All right, let's find out what's going on around the world. I mean, there's so much going on. We do have there's going to be a big hearing before the House Judiciary Committee here in the U.S. as for the anti-competitive conduct in the online marketplace. So they're bringing in the big four. The head of Amazon, the head of Apple, the head of Google, and Facebook. They've all agreed to testify before the committee. Wow, that's huge. I mean, Bezos, I think, was the first up to say he was coming. Maybe it was Zuckerberg from Facebook, maybe. But they want to bring him in and say, hey, have you stifled competition to the detriment of their users in the American society? And let me get their answers. Mr. Cook from Apple, have you detoured? No. Mr. Zuckerberg from Facebook, have you detoured? No. Mr. Bezos, you're the richest man on the planet in today's world, so you must have, Sundar, you know, from Google. Sundar, well, I don't want to do it wrong. I never can get it right. What is it?
Sundar Pichai.
Sundar Pichai. Okay. So, Mr. Sundar Pichai, have you stifled? No. Okay, we're done. Thank you for showing up. I appreciate it. No problem. Wish you guys hadn't come all this way, but good luck, God bless. I mean, wow. There's no set date yet for them to show up, and I would guess that you're not going to find out until maybe day of or day before, because between security and people who like and people who hate, right? And more people that hate than I. So good luck. Good luck. God bless for these four guys. And in the story, it talks about, it's really, I love the story. So they reached out, of course, to have them, to have anybody comment on the actual story. A committee spokesperson declined to comment on a specific date. Spokespeople for Apple, Amazon, Google, and Facebook did not immediately offer comment. Yeah, I bet. No kidding. In India, as long as we're on, headlines from around the globe, in India, 59 Chinese apps, including TikTok, were cut. No more. Have a nice day. Banned in India. That's big news, man. There's a few, TikTok stars out of India as well. So good luck. Hope it works out for you. India wants to, give China a taste of their own medicine. But, all right. And that might, that actually could help startups from Alibaba and Tencent out of India. So, you know, all right, I'm with you. No problem. The Naked Cowboy, because it's come back to the U.S. The Naked Cowboy, he went to a demonstration in New York. I love the Naked Cowboy. He's been there. He's been in New York forever. You know, he plays his guitar. He's got his cowboy hat. He's got his cowboy boots. He's got his underwear on. In fact, the underwear in the picture he's wearing, he has the red, white, and blue Trump name on his rear end now. And he did have Trump stickers on his guitar, but he said he took them off for the protest in front of City Hall. They kicked him out. They kicked him out. They didn't want him there. So get out of here. He's been on the street being a protester, having people look at him in his underwear forever. He wanted to be part of it. He's one of them. Nope. Get out. We don't want the Naked Cowboy here. You're white and you have Trump on your underwear. Wow. So you mean that everyone isn't welcome at the protests? Huh. Really weird. Really weird. All right, let's go over to Russia. We just bounce around the globe a little bit. Russian President Vladimir Putin. He'd probably stay in power now until 2036. That's all. That's all. Don't worry about it. He's only going to be in power till 2036. So it's good news, right? Come back to the U.S.? Sure, why not? San Francisco police say they're going to stop releasing mugshots of people unless they pose a public threat. Okay. The police chief said that the decision was based in part on research suggesting mugshots can foster racial bias among communities. Really? I'd like that explained to me a little bit. San Francisco is the first city to do that, and you can bet that's coming to plenty of cities around America very, very soon. Now, I'd like to know who gets to choose which mugshots get released. I'd like to know who they deem and what crimes do you have to commit to be posed a public threat. I would like that to have that explained to me. However, I reached out to the San Francisco police chief and they have not gotten back to me yet. I didn't really reach out, but I'm sure they would get back to me anyway. We'll stay here in the U.S. Tesla, yesterday, congratulations, officially became the most valuable car manufacturer in the world. Wow. Its stock has more than doubled since the start of the year, hit an all-time high. Tesla's market cap pushes past $207 billion. So Tesla is now more valuable than Honda, Ferrari, BMW, GM, Nikola, and Nissan combined. Wow. Now, sure, it's only produced 103,000 vehicles in the first quarter of this year, and Toyota made 2.4 million cars. But so what? What's it to you? That is amazing. Now, he's got great growth potential, according to investors. It delivered 367,500 vehicles in 2019, which was 50% more than he did in 2018. This year, of course, while he's climbing up in worth, we'll see how many vehicles actually get delivered during the pandemic. But, everybody's in on the electric vehicle deal now, and they all want part of it. If he, if he posts this, if he posts a profit in four straight quarters, which he has one more to go now, he'll be on the S&P 500. And I say he, the company, Tesla, will be on the S&P 500. That's incredible. Now, when I say he, you know, of course, I'm talking about Elon Musk. But, you know, the company is Tesla. It's not named Elon Musk. Duh. Stop saying that, okay? And as long as we're on, headlines from around the globe, and let's talk about increasing your happiness here on the planet, shall we? The best way to increase your happiness here on the planet is to subscribe to this podcast, Chewing the Fat. It's really simple. Pick a platform and subscribe. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever one warms the little cockles of your heart. And then you are alerted when the daily podcast drops for you to listen to. Monday through Friday happens every Monday through Friday. And then there are times when there's a Saturday podcast. And then there are times when there's an extra special podcast thrown in there. I mean, I work my tongue to the bone for you to make your existence on the planet better. And I got an email at chewingthefatattheblaze.com from a listener who asks a tremendous question and gives some thoughts in his email. And I'm going to read that to you and give you my answer momentarily here on Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Download and subscribe to more content at theblaze.com/podcasts.
So I've, you know, I've deliberately stayed away from, we talked a little politics, very little, and any real pandemic news today with, with all the news. I just can't. But I will say that I got an email from Rob at chewingthefatattheblaze.com, and he, I'll read you his email. As Independence Day approaches, I was pondering the effects of social distancing on our American holiday. For me, the 4th has always represented a day when Americans put aside politics and stand together united over our triumph of tyranny for freedom. For me, it is the most recognizable when Americans sit together and watch fireworks. However, this year some communities have canceled fireworks. Others are enforcing social distancing on the spectators. This brought me to research social distancing. I love it. This is me speaking, not him in the email now. That's great. Back to his email. You probably already know social distancing originated out of the fear of catching disease. Later, it was used in fashion to ward off unwanted suitors by Victorian women. Regardless, in both cases, it was personal choice. And he sends a link. If he thinks he's going to tell me news on fashion, he's forgetting I am fashion, although he did start this out with, you probably know. Back to the email. Therefore, it is common knowledge that fear and freedom do not mix. People who fear will rarely fight, while to the contrary, all must be brave to fight for their freedom. At this moment, I really don't know how to deal with this Independence Day celebration without feeling that all is masking. Social distancing and cancellations is a direct attack on my freedom and our country. Any thoughts? Question mark. Best regards, Rob. Well, Rob, yes, I do have some thoughts. Thanks for emailing me at chewingthefat@theblaze.com. I also wanted to mention that today is another celebration day for those of you listening live, July 2nd, 2020. And if you're listening past July 2nd, I mean, you can still celebrate, and you can also put it on your calendar for next year. So you know, and you can go ahead and put out your special UFO tree and celebrate, because today is World UFO Day. Right? Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. I wish I had known earlier. I would have celebrated for, you know, a while. I may have to post. I've got a UFO YouTube video that I made a little while ago that I haven't posted yet. It's just been sitting in the dustbin of history, and I may just have to post that, since it is World UFO Day. I mean, In this story, it talks about, you know, how the Navy was under fire after it released the, you know, the unidentified flying objects videos. Former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who, by the way, is in, did not look well the last time I saw him. He said the U.S. needs to take a serious scientific look at this and any potential national security implications. The American people deserve to be informed. I'm sure he changed his mind when he said that, too, because he changed his mind on a whole lot of things during his career as a senator from the great state of Nevada. Economist Tyler Cohen of Bloomberg, humanity has a long history of being caught unawares by outside arrivals. We do. And so we should pay more attention, maybe in the movies, so we should pay more attention to that bias in ourselves. He cited the technologically superior Spanish invasion of the Aztec Empire as an example. Oh. Okay. Famous political scientist Alexander Wendt said that whether it's alien life, who knows? It's a plausible explanation. My point is that we should be agnostic about this and simply study it scientifically. Let's do the science, and then we can talk about what we found. That's a good idea. And if we hold that true for everything, why, that would be smart, wouldn't it, Alexander Wendt? Yeah, it would be. Yeah, sure would be. I say yes, the aliens, you know, there's a difference between unidentified flying objects and UFOs. Sure, UFOs stand for unidentified flying objects, but when you say UFOs, you know what we mean, right? Yes, that's correct. You know what we mean, okay? And maybe we'll just, you know, wrap up by going down some of my Twitter likes. I got to come up with a segment for that. Twitter likes. How about we just call it looking at what I liked on Twitter? Nah, that's too easy. It's got to be something. It's got to be something witty. So one of the tweets that I liked last night was a quote tweet from Buck Sexton, who is coming up. Oh, no, he's already there. This is the podcast. Never mind. He airs on Blaze Radio Network, Premier Radio Network's radio host, Buck Sexton. Used to broadcast as a Blaze employee, too. I love Buck. Anyway, he's a good guy. I like him. He quote tweeted a tweet from the New York Times that the tweet from the New York Times says Mount Rushmore was built on land that belonged to the Lakota tribe and sculpted by a man who had strong bonds with the Ku Klux Klan. It features the faces of two U.S. presidents who were slave holders. Huh. So we need to just blow it up or what, New York Times? What are you implying? Oh, we're just telling you the facts. So Buck's quote tweet to that tweet was reminding the New York Times that the New York Times building is located on land the Dutch colonists swindled from the native population. They must abandon their stolen land and donate the proceeds to BLM. I love it. And that's where it's going to get to, which is why, take them for their words, they want to burn it down. They want to start again. They want to everyone just to end it. It is incredible. Also, I liked a quote tweet from Jason Buttrell, who told us about the taste of democracy from Reuters, South Korea's 16-year fight for a green onion breakfast cereal. So apparently Kellogg's thought it was a joke 16 years ago when they voted on cereal that they wanted, and they voted for green onion cereal, and they've been fighting for it ever since. I don't know why, and I don't want any of it, but okay. Have fun. Have at it. Enjoy your green onion breakfast cereal. And quote, do you remember the one lady who told us she was going to stab the next person? Her video is just beautiful, and she's a beautiful person. And I just love her. From where's she? I gotta scroll back here and see exactly where she is from. Here she goes. A Harvard senior threatens to stab anyone who says all lives matter. Have you heard this beautiful person? Wait a minute. Let me.
And say.
Hold on. Let's go back to the beginning.
Next person who has the sheer nerve, the sheer entitled caucasity to say all lives matter, I'ma stab you. I'ma stab you. And while you're struggling and bleeding out, I'ma show you my paper cut and say, my cut matters too.
So just a beautiful person. All right, we can continue on with what I liked on Twitter. Although I think I just do what I liked on social media, because you can follow me on Twitter at JeffyJFR, Facebook and Instagram, Jeff Fisher Radio, and Parler at Jeff Fisher Radio on Parler. So maybe we just we'll start that new segment coming up on Chewing the Fat. I've got another segment too that I think I'm gonna have happen. Fat facts, and just when we say don't bog us down with facts on this show, I think we need an actual segment, fat facts, so that we do get bogged down with a few of the facts on these stories. For the heck of it, and some uplifting news, okay. The Japanese government has lifted the countrywide state of emergency. And, they lifted it, weeks ago. What was the exact date that Japan lifted their countrywide state of emergency? I asked that, and I wait for an answer, and there is no answer coming except in my head. The end of May. So they ended it weeks ago, right? I mean, it's been an amount of time, a good 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe even 6 weeks ago. And life, and now he urged, I was looking at a story from the main man, the head of Japan, the prime minister. He urged people to remain vigilant and adopt a new lifestyle based on avoidance. And the three C's, confined and crowded spaces, close human contact, and prevent the second wave of infection. So that's confined and crowded spaces and close human contact to avoid that. However, according to this story, they're not doing that. Train stations are full. They're running packed. There's been all kinds of pictures of cramped train cars, and using the hashtag crowded train. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if the numbers start going up. I was looking to see, I wonder what they're where they're at numbers wise, and so I opened up the coronavirus numbers, and I'm sorry, I opened up the numbers. I know, I got it, nobody cares, but China is still at 83,537, they do have three new cases. And as long as you're, here and want to know, and you asked, okay, you asked, the U.S. has a total of 2,804,731 total cases. Wow, we're getting close to 3 million. And total deaths are 131,118 here in the United States. Brazil is coming up strong at number two, and China is still at 83,537 with three new cases. And Japan, where the heck is Japan? Japan is 54th on the list, and they have no new cases. They only have 18,723 total cases. So, and 974 total deaths. And they opened it back up. So, that's good news, right? Tell that to the governors that are starting to lock down this country again. Go with Japan's plan, the three C's, or You know, how about just go with the American plan and let the Americans make the choice? And so businesses can open back up and we can get back to doing things and being the America that we love. How about that? How about that? How about that?